places, please. The dance is about to begin.
You know, I would say that life is very interesting as a person of color here in Ohio, which is in the Midwest in the United States. Because people, when they think of racism, when they think of bigotry, they think of the South. They think of Mississippi. They think of Georgia. They think of Alabama. Heck, they think of Kentucky, which is like one state over from where I am in Ohio. When people think of the Midwest, they think of almost a serene place in which there is a simple life where you have neighbors that know one another, the whole town knows one another, and that you can leave your door unlocked because there's safety. But as a Black man, as a person of color in the Midwest, I can tell you that I keep my door locked. Because I know, I've lived here my whole life. I know what the Midwest hides. And they don't hide it well. Racism is not hidden well in the Midwest. Growing up, I was called a nigger between like 4 and like 10 times a year. I mean, when I say growing up, I say between 18 and like 22. I don't have any statistics as to how many times I would have been called a nigger in Alabama or the rate of times I'd have been called a nigger in Mississippi per year. But I'm pretty sure that my average year of being called a nigger is pretty high. You know, pretty high. It's pretty good. I'm batting a pretty good nigger average between 8 and 22 because that is the Midwest to me. It's not about leaving your doors unlocked. It's about people in the Midwest, in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in Indiana, Illinois. It's about keeping the racism behind the door. Not locked, but not necessarily as in the forefront as what may be down south. There is a different vibe down south. I mean, you go down south, you see the Confederate flags, you see a whole lot more southern culture, which I almost appreciate more because at least I know what I'm dealing with. Up here, the racism, the hate, the discrimination it hits just as hard, but instead of it being so in your face, it's more of a sleight of hand approach. This past Saturday in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio, racism, bigotry, and discrimination showed up. It showed up. And it showed up in a way that was a cause for alarm for a lot of folks. The Proud Boys, I don't know if y'all know who the Proud Boys are. They're not a boy band. Well, they sort of are, but they're more like a Trump MAGA boy band. They showed up in the Clintonville area of the city, which is right on the edge of the University, Ohio State University. And it's a very almost sort of well-to-do desired area to live because it's by the university, it's by all like the fancy shops. It's thought of as being the almost where the white liberals live. And by white liberals, I mean like the white woke liberals, you know, the ones who will, give you granola and dried kale, but also quote you Martin Luther King and show up to the Juneteenth celebration at your office. And they may bring some Kroger fried chicken, but that's cool. And that's Clintonville. Like Clintonville is a nice place with a whole bunch of coffee shops. They got breweries. But what they weren't expecting was for the neo-Nazis, for the Proud Boys to show up. Now, why did the Proud Boys show up? Well, this is almost going to sound like a Maury show, right? Let me break it down. They showed up. The Proud Boys showed up to stop a fundraiser held by a school where drag queens were going to read stories and perform for children. I told you, it sounds a little bit like a Maury show. It's almost like here we're featuring like the drag queens, you know, and the good they're doing in the community, and everyone's clapping in the audience, and then they bring out Jasper and Big Billy from the local militia to yell at them. Like that's it's the perfect setup for Springer, Maury, Aroldo, Phil Donahue. Y'all remember him? Maybe not. Maybe even Montel, but like it's the perfect setup. Definitely Jenny Jones. It's the perfect setup. And so the Proud Boys were there to combat the drag queens reading to the chillins. And so they showed up in full regalia. And by regalia, I mean like dusty t-shirts, you know, the camo hoodies, and the jeans with the wallet imprint that you could see like in the back pocket, because that's the only place where the wallet would go for them. And so, you know that. You've seen it before. It may even have like a chain attached to the wallet. So like they showed up with that and, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, like guns, a whole lot of guns. They showed up with their big guns. The Proud Boys showed up to show out with their big guns to combat the drag queens at the elementary school. Due to a lack of security and quite frankly, a lack of safety, the event was canceled and people in the community were quite upset. How could this happen here? How could this happen in Clintonville? Like, it would be understandable if we were Alabama. It would be understandable if we were Georgia. Heck, it would be understandable if we were Southern Ohio. But like in Clintonville, in Columbus, Ohio, we're progressive. Like, we're liberal. We like Black people. We like trans people. We like the LGBTQIA community. Like we're open. Why do they show up here? And so the obvious answers, two of them. A, to stop the drag queens from reading to the chillins, because we don't want them to be gay. I mean, after all, we are the Proud Boys. Yeah, y'all got that? Yeah, the Proud Boys don't want anyone. The Proud Boys don't want anyone to get a whiff of gay. Yeah, okay, I'm gonna move on from that point, all right? And so the second thing they showed up for was obviously to create violence, because they have their big guns, these proud little big boys or whatever they are. They showed up with their big guns and their big guns were out, because when you're a proud boy, you got to show off your big black gun. Yeah, they still don't want that almost that subtle whiff of gay. Like, once again, like, it's just really weird. All right. And so they showed up for violence. They obviously wanted to do something violent, which, you know what? Here's the deal. There may have been a bit of that in the pot, a bit of both of those things in the pot. Yes, they probably didn't want the drag queens to read to the chillins because of their viewpoints, because of their opinions, because they don't want gayness to be spread. Yes. And yes, I'm probably sure there was a couple of Jasper, Skillet, and Big Billy, who wanted to do some violence on that day. Yes. But I want to almost throw this out and seek other options, because those are so obvious. You know, the guns, the rhetoric, you know, those are the obvious. As someone who grew up in Springfield, Ohio, smaller town, about an hour west of Columbus, this didn't feel new to me. Having the Proud Boys show up to cape for America and to you know, show up to fight against the LGBTQIA community, it wasn't new to me. Because I grew up in a small town. I grew up in a town where the Klan rallied twice a year. I've been to Klan rallies. I've seen them. I've seen them with the robes in the summer. I've seen them as they march and stand at the courthouse with their flags. And I've seen it. And not only have I seen it, I've seen it multiple times. That means if I seen something, I've seen it multiple times. I've seen it. Told you, I grew up in a town, in the area, which being called a nigger, I mean, that's just welcome to America. Being called a nigger was as American as apple pie. Racist pie, but apple nonetheless. And so none of this shocked me. I wasn't blown away. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't saying, oh my gosh, not here in my liberal community, not here in my Clintonville, not here in near my coffee house, not here near my bike path, not here near my daughter's school, not here. I'm from a small town in Ohio. I realize that there are very few not here's in America. And if you believe there are not here's, you're fooling yourself. And so from what I've read and from what I've watched and some of my own, you know, past experiences of dealing with and seeing racism, bigotry, discrimination in my face, I have a theory as to why the Proud Boys showed up to storytelling time with the drag queens in progressive, liberal, coffee-scented bike path, university adjacent, Black and Trans Lives Matter, Clintonville. Here's my theory. Yes, they showed up to disrupt, but more than anything, they showed up for the attention to recruit. Yeah, this was a recruiting trip. They brought out all the big guns, literally. They brought out all the Liberty Bells and Confederate whistles. They showed up on a recruiting trip. And someone nearby told, you know, a fellow Proud Boy that drag queens were reading to children and they saw this as an opportunity for attention. It's not about the kids. Heck, it's not even really about the drag queens. It's not. It just isn't. It's about recruiting. Recruiting in the not here of America. Let me give you a little game. A little Klan rally game, right? So when you go and see like the Proud Boys or neo-Nazis or the KKK, like you have to look past a lot of things. Like you gotta look past the mullets. You know, you gotta look past like the Walmart shades, or like sometimes they may bring out like some 2002 Oakleys. Like you gotta look past that. You have to look past the Wrangler jeans with the, like I said, with the wallet imprint in the back pocket. You gotta look past that. You gotta look past the guns. I know it's hard, but you have to look past the guns. Little boys that have little minds bring out big guns. That's just what little boys at 6 do. And obviously little Proud Boys at 60 do. They bring out their big, ironically, black guns to flex to America to show that they have big old black guns. All right. And so you got to look past that. You got to look past the flags on the cars. You got to look past all the little sayings and chants. You got to look past the fact that they're wearing shorts. Y'all, they were wearing shorts. It's December. Why are you wearing shorts in the wintertime? Like, it's Ohio. This is crazy. The Proud Boys, right? So you got to look past the shorts and their own idiocy, and you got to see something else. Because they're showing you all that. They're showing you all that to get distracted. They're showing you the guns to create just enough fear for you to get distracted. They're yelling that they're trying to boast and they're trying to flex their ego to create tension, to take your eyes off of what they're really trying to do. It's a sleight of hand. White supremacy has a sleight of hand. You really got to pay attention and realize like, oh, it's not what it looks like. It's even worse. They were there to recruit. In Clintonville, in the liberal coffee shop, university adjacent, bike path, walking, loving black, brown, and gay and LGBTQIA people. How do we know that? Because they have signs in their front yards that say, "We love you. We love you." Type of community. The Proud Boys were there to recruit. And let me give you a little bit of this. They weren't on foreign soil. they were recruiting and expanding their fan base. They didn't do this in Southern Ohio or in some of these rural towns where Proud Boys are really just out and about. Nah, they also weren't in the Linden area. They weren't on the west side. They weren't on the south side in these communities that are a lot more diverse with a lot more people of color. They didn't bring out their guns and go over and march down Cleveland Avenue. They weren't doing that because they may have met another group that also has guns. Okay. And so the Proud Boys weren't there for that type of smoke or violence. They just weren't. This was a recruiting trip. To the people in Clintonville who are on the fence. They're on the fence when it comes to this LGBTQIA thing. They're on the fence when it comes to this whole Black Lives Matter thing. Like they're not deplorables. They're not neo-Nazis. They're not the Klan, right? That's what they're thinking. Like, we're not them. But they also don't want America to change. Let me paint this picture a little bit more. For a couple more minutes, I'm gonna get right off of here, right? All right. They were there to recruit the people who aren't willing to invest enough into LGBTQIA communities, into Black and Brown communities and individuals. They were there to recruit those type of people, the people who saw these Proud Boys with their guns going down the street and who peered outside their windows and said, you know, that's not right, but they have a point. They were there to recruit people who have butts, who make up convenient butts in the face of hate, in the face of discrimination, in the face of bigotry, in the face of racism, in the face of sexism. Because they know that the only way their fan base, their economic stronghold will grow is if they get the people who say, yeah, but they're not all that bad. Like, they want the people who may not agree with their delivery, but they agree with their message. That's how you indoctrinate someone. They may not like the delivery. The delivery can always be changed, but do you agree with the message that America is going to hell, what is it, in the handbasket, whatever they say, or that your America is being stolen, your power is being stolen, your jobs are being stolen, these drag queens are reading to your children who are going to turn out gay, and we are the Proud Boys, and we are here to save America and make America great again. Do you agree with this? And those people who are on the fence, who may not agree with the delivery, who may not agree with the approach, but the message strikes a chord. They're bought in. That's the dangers of being what I call passive progressive. And I see this a lot with so-called liberals, people who aren't willing to associate with the obvious quote unquote deplorables. Because they're better than them. Not only are they financially better than them, they may dress better than them, but their ideas, their ideology is more advanced and more evolved. They don't have the quote-unquote caveman thinking. But they also are unwilling to believe in a progressive America, a progressive society. A society in which some of those riches and privileges that are held for them, then maybe they can be disseminated, passed around to others. They don't believe that America should evolve, that this country should evolve, that this community should evolve to a place in which equity is the norm and power is not gained strictly by pulling oneself up by their bootstraps. I've met a lot of people on this fence and they don't even know they're on the fence. Whereas a black man, in whether it be in society or in the workplace, I don't really have a choice. In some ways I do, but I make the choice not to be on the fence because you need to know, I need to know where I stand. The people around me need to know where I stand, because if you don't, it's detrimental. If you don't know where I stand on diversity, equity, and inclusion, if you don't know where I stand on protecting black and brown and queer folks, if you don't know where I stand, then why am I there? What am I really doing? I meet a lot of people who don't want people to know where they stand, because they don't stand. They make a choice to sit until they feel their rights, their possessions, their power, their privilege is being taken. And then they make the choice to stand with the Proud Boys and other groups like them. It is so dangerous to be passive, progressive in that type of thinking, because you're almost playing both sides. If you're playing both sides, you're really not. You're really leaning to the side that can give you and provide you with the most. Why join this new group of progressive thinkers who want to share and spread the wealth? That doesn't sound cool. They're going to line up with Uncle Sam, the red, white, and blue. America. Because without America, they would not be where they are today. Yes, in good old Clintonville. It's the perfect place to recruit the next Proud Boys, whether they be boys or men. I mean, picture this. The Proud Boys come into your neighborhood with guns and walking down your street, and yet it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Yes, it made some national news, but it didn't look like a big deal. Why? Because there are white guys walking down the streets with guns, with an agenda to spread hate, to ultimately create violence, with the goal of taking the power of America back. I've seen a lot of people say, well, it wasn't that bad. These boys were just speaking, kicking up dust. They weren't about much. When people say that, they think they're on the fence, but really they fell off the fence. They're with the Proud Boys. In Clintonville, let me throw this out to y'all too. Imagine if it were, I don't know, a bunch of black men, right? A bunch of black men out there in your white coffee smelling kale chip and avocado toast neighborhood, showing off their big old black guns, right? Guns. The big old black guns in your white neighborhood. How would you feel? How would you feel at that sight? Would it be okay? Would it be just a little bit of a dust up? No. Tension would be higher. News coverage would be greater. Violence would be likely. Because America's always willing to see the evil in black men, men of color, people of color. And yet be so willing to conveniently overlook the sins and the historical atrocities of its own. Proud Boys are nothing new. They've been Proud Boys since the foundations of America. Promoting a culture of bigotry, of discrimination, of sexism, of classism, creating systems that will further elevate white men and white supremacy ideology, and using an American flag and other rhetoric to cover it up, to provide a sleight of hand so that people don't look and see what's behind the curtain. It's advancement. It's power. It's recruiting. It's America. And this country is relying on your silence, on your passivity, on your unwillingness to stand for the collective freedom of those who may not have had the same freedoms and privilege that you've been extended due to the color of your skin, gender in which you were born, sexual orientation that you identify with, or the socioeconomic status that you've been handed. So Clintonville and all the other Clintonvilles around America filled with good-natured, liberal, typically white, middle-class Americans, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand or sit to the side and continue to elevate yourself above the deplorables, above the neo-Nazis, the Ku Klux Klan? Above them, because you're too smart to be them, or you continue to believe that you were so far from their ideology, from their beliefs, because you're too good to be that? Are you going to continue to believe that you treat everybody fair and good, that you don't see color, that you love everybody, everybody's welcome when they're around you? Are you going to continue to believe that you are supporting the efforts of people of color by going to the African restaurant once a year? Or by sponsoring a black kid for your kid's soccer team? Or by ordering Chinese food once a week? Or are you going to actually do something that you haven't done probably in your lifetime, in which you stand up for somebody else that's not you, and that you fight for people who may not look like you, and that you join a movement that both celebrates and elevates all people, and not just those that go to your hot yoga class? Are you going to continue to allow America to silence you, only giving you the freedom to speak up when you place your hand over your heart at the ball game, when you sing the national anthem, and all of its freedoms that have been given to the few, not the many? Are we going to continue to allow groups like the Proud Boys to come into our communities and continue to grow seeds of discrimination and hate, and then wonder how they got here? They've been here all alone. They just haven't been confronted. Because sometimes when you confront hate and look it in the eye, you may see your own reflection. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And as always, be well.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The journey is over.